the market's dive on disappointing job numbers.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith in for Bill Radke. Welcome to the Morning Open, when we take a look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts its trading day. U.S. companies hired far fewer people in May than expected. We'll talk about why in just a moment. But first, let's do the numbers. It is ugly out there. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is down 196 points, 1.9% to 10,058. The NASDAQ down 1.75%, 40 points to 2,262. The S&P 500 down 1.9%, 21 points to 1081. The U.S. economy added 430,000 jobs in May. And that sounds like good news, but 410,000 of those were temporary census jobs. Chris Lowe is chief economist with FTN Financial. He joins us live now from New York, as he does most Fridays. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning.
So, Chris, not counting the census, the economy added about 20,000 jobs in May. That is way down from April, when the private sector added 230,000 jobs. What's going on here?
Well, that's right. And unfortunately, the average duration of those census jobs is 2 weeks. So you really do have to focus on private sector jobs. It was a broad-based slowdown. We had a slowdown in manufacturing hiring, a big drop in construction hiring. And then on the service side, the smallest job growth since December, mostly because of a drop in retail and financial hiring.
Is job growth permanently slowing down?
I don't think so. There were some positive signs in this report. What it suggests to me is that employers are nervous. They're nervous about what's happening in Europe. They're nervous about an engineered slowdown in China, and they're trying to make do with fewer people. But there was a fairly significant increase in the work week. Aggregate hours worked also increased.
And that's good news?
I tell you why it's good news, because it shows they are increasing output and they're trying to make do with fewer people. Right now, that translates to productivity growth. But we know that productivity gains are more difficult to achieve right now because, frankly, we've chalked up so many. And they can only do without hiring for a brief period of time if they're going to keep output this high.
So demand is up, and we're working harder to meet that demand. But we did earlier this week see retail sales were disappointing. Is it possible that demand is going to start slowing down for companies and productivity will drop and we won't hire?
Well, even there was some positive news in May. The most important thing is that average hourly earnings were up, and again, by more than expected, so that there should be enough income growth to keep consumption going forward. Also in May, we had an unexpected increase in car sales, and retailers, even though they said they were disappointed by May results, did say that things were perking up toward the end of the month, and they're hopeful for June. So at least there's some reason for optimism.
Our optimist, Chris Lowe with FTN Financial. Thank you, Chris.
You're welcome.
One major concern about the job market is the rising number of long-term unemployed and how to deal with long-term unemployment benefits. Our own Elisa Roth joins us live now from our New York bureau. Good morning, Elisa.
Good morning.
Elisa, Congress has been looking at extending unemployment benefits for a while now. What are some of the issues involved?
Well, the discussion really centers on whether unemployment benefits help people or are ultimately a hindrance. Now, some people, generally on the left, say those who don't have jobs need unemployment benefits until they can find work, because as we've seen today, there just aren't very many jobs out there. In the other camp are people, generally more on the right, who say unemployment benefits are a disincentive to looking for work. That is, if you can get paid to essentially do nothing, then why would you even try to find a job?
How do you think today's numbers will affect the debate?
Well, I talked to Heather Boucher this morning. She's an economist at the Center for American Progress, which is a left-leaning think tank. And she says the numbers that came out should really be a call for policymakers to extend those benefits once and for all.
And employers simply aren't hiring. We are not seeing the kind of private sector employment gains that we need to see to get this economy moving. And those extended benefits not only help workers and their families, but they will help to support local economies by putting dollars into them.
But it also depends in part whether you think today's numbers were bad or not. You know, as we've been hearing, some economists say they weren't that bad because at least we're not losing jobs. So that might be an argument for not extending the benefits again.
Elisa Roth in New York. Thank you, Elisa.
You're welcome.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reputation Defender, monitoring, protecting, and helping improve your online reputation while deleting personal data from websites that sell it. ReputationDefender.com/market. And by Gather.com, the social network where people can make new friends who share their interests. People talking about today's news at news.gather.com. American Public Media presents The Great Textbook War, an American Radio Works documentary supported by the Batten Institute at the University of Virginia's Darden School of Business. More at AmericanRadioWorks.org.
BP reports this hour the cap it put over the leak in the Gulf of Mexico is catching some oil. Meanwhile, there's a six-month stop on deepwater drilling in the Gulf, and oil drillers in the Gulf's shallow waters will have to stop temporarily, but only temporarily. Nancy Marshall-Genzer reports.
Most of the 3,500 rigs in the Gulf are pumping in 1,000 feet of water or less. Fewer than 50 are in deep water. John Rend drills in shallow water, sometimes just a couple hundred feet deep. He says it's a whole different world from BP's deep water operations. For one thing, his blowout preventers, designed to keep a well from exploding, sit on top of the water.
We walk down a flight of stairs and go to them, literally.
The crippled BP blowout preventer is down so deep it can only be reached by robots. Ditto for the blown-out wellhead. Divers can usually reach shallow wells, but some environmentalists say shallow wells are just as dangerous as deep ones, especially for wildlife. Karen Suckling is executive director of the Center for Biological Diversity.
Wildlife can be even more affected by blowouts in shallow water because shallow water drilling tends to be much closer. Sure.
And Suckling says blowouts are more common in less than 500 feet of water. He points out that the biggest spill ever in the Gulf occurred at about 160 feet. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek-Smith, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.